The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Wyatt Tomchek in for the vacationing Kelly Bidlin. How you doing, man?
I'm great. Wait, Kelly's vacationioning? I think he just told me to save his seat for like 5 minutes.
No, it's going to be 5 days. You missed that. You missed that
one. I missed that, but I'm glad to be with you. I haven't seen you in a while.
I know, man, because you've been away.
I have.
I'm going to blame it on you. What are you, at Circa most of the time?
Yes, when producer Britton Hess unfortunately left us to go move to L.A. Still writing for us for all his UFC content. He's filling in for primetime, so I get to sleep in a little bit.
You were just with your family, and you would you like to share what you do as part of that trip with your family?
Yeah, so most of my family on my dad's side, they live in Wisconsin. So I go up every year. Now, my uncle owns Two Ace Hardwares there. And since I was like 10 years old, I've always worked there. And it's just kind of like a little fun
thing. So you're
thing.
Like helping people find the proper light bulbs and the proper paint shade and all that.
You know, well, don't ask me specific questions because then I'm gonna be like, I'm going to get somebody more. Or I got to give the life story of when they get a little agitated with me. I'm like, look. I'm from Vegas. I'm the owner's nephew. I'm just, you know,
you
helping
do that
out.
Thing. Well, I'm glad you could be producer number whatever here, a little interim producer on the show. We appreciate it. And by the way, you're destroyed by mosquitoes. People should know why it starts scratching himself. It's not anything else. It's just mosquitoes. It's happening to him.
Got like 20 of them.
Yeah. This is for a show in the middle of June. Can we call it the middle of June? Whatever. Towards the middle end of June, if you will. One of the sneakiest, best kind of days of the sports calendar. It is that good. NHL Game 7 Stanley Cup Final tonight between the Edmonton Oilers. I'll do this again now. It's driving me crazy. Edmonton Oilers and Florida Panthers, and Edmonton trying to create all kinds of history. All kinds of history, not only being the first Canadian team to win since 1993, but of course coming back from a 3-0 deficit, which has only been done four other times in the history of the NHL playoffs. And only once before in the history of the Stanley Cup Finals. That is what they're trying to do. Jake Hahn will be here later. We'll break it down. It is essentially a coin flip tonight. Panthers were showing with a couple cents in their favorite, minus 112. But in reality, this is a coin flip tonight for all the marbles. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals does get better than that. Actually, it kind of does, because we have the College World Series deciding game tonight as well. Sucks that they're at the same time. Between Tennessee and Texas A&M. Matt Grissom will be here to talk about that game tonight. And then it's the NBA draft on Wednesday. So we have Vegas refund Luke Swain on the show today for not one but two segments breaking down the whole NBA draft. Give us his picks, the way he approaches the NBA draft, all of that later on the show with the great Luke Swain, who, as you know, has been on this show many times and primarily for the NFL draft where he's done great historically. But this time, obviously, for the NBA draft, which is only two nights away on Wednesday night. Mark Borchardt on baseball. We got to update. Oh, we got to update. Major League Baseball wins in the month of June. It's getting interesting for the third straight month.
How much do you enjoy this market? Because this is really the first time I've seen you really discuss this.
I love this market. Because, Wyatt, I was a baseball 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. If you asked me what my favorite sport to bet on was, it was baseball. And everything else was a distant second. The game changed. Starting pitchers got taken out of games earlier. My ability to wrap my arms around bullpens, not as good. And so I sort of day-to-day baseball betting sort of went by the wayside. I think that was a proper way to transition out. But I still think some of my best bets are in baseball. And this month-long sort of parameter is perfect. And also with the Guardians in March, April, with the Guardians in May, and now the Astros in June, I essentially just bet the team brain dead every day because I've already sort of done the month-long handicap. And while that doesn't sound like the most heady way to do things, it has proven to be awesome. So we'll update that coming up on the show. Wimbledon as well, because Drew Dinsick, Zach Cohen, I believe, will join us as well on Thursday to do a Wimbledon podcast on the Beating the Book side on Thursday. We'll talk men's side a little on the show today, because I ran through the numbers on some of the players. I hadn't gotten to the women's side yet, but we'll run through the men's. Let's start, though, with, I mean, is that enough? All of that going on. here in the, and that's not even to mention soccer and all the your international soccer tournaments. Paul Carr will join us tomorrow. Let's talk about Scottie Scheffler because we got to make time for him first, just from a historical standpoint. Scottie Scheffler wins the Travelers yesterday in Connecticut. In a playoff against Tom Kim, 18th hole interrupted by protesters. What were they protesting, by the way?
I think it was the Stop the Oil protest. I don't know. I was just enjoying Kelly live tweeting on the plane because he was trying to see the result before he took off. He was very frustrated.
In any protest, when you're interrupting sporting events or anything that anyone enjoys, you may want to consider that your protest is probably going to have the opposite effect. Just want to point that out to protesters.
I do enjoy when people get tackled. There are some amazing tackles out there.
Greatest tackle in protest history, Mike Curtis of the Baltimore Colts, before you and I can even remember, just decking a fan.
I might have to look this one
back
up.
Back in the day. Okay, so Scottie Scheffler, 18th hole. Protesters, it gets delayed there, and so when they come back, Scheffler misses a birdie putt, barely settles for par, and then Tom Kim, to force a playoff, hits a clutch birdie putt. We're going to a playoff at the Travelers, and Scheffler sticks his approach shot on the green. Kim goes into the bunker. His chip out was nowhere close, and Scheffler ends up parring out to win the Travelers. It is his sixth PGA win in his last 10 starts. Sixth PGA win in his last 10 starts. 2 years ago, again, when Brady Cannon and I were on air, I said to him, I think we need to be Benny Scottie Scheffler every tournament. Like, he's built different. It took a while to manifest, but here we are with Scottie Scheffler. Sixth event of the year, not only in his last 10, but it's also, of course, the sixth of the year. And this is before July. Justin Ray, with all of his great tweets, this is the first time a golfer has won six tournaments before July since Arnold Palmer did it in 1962. It's only the third time that happened. I believe Arnold Palmer was a time before that as well. The all-time record, by the way, is 9 in a year, in a calendar year. Scheffler already at 6. Looking at history, Tiger Woods won 7 times in 2007. Tiger won 8 times in 1999 and 2006. And Tiger won 9 times in 2000. By the way, Arnold Palmer in 1962 and 1960. The only two other times that someone has won 6 by July. In fact, in 1962, he won 6 by the middle of May. But that's the record. Vijay Singh also won 9 times in 2004, by the way. But Tiger in 2009 is the record. But along those 6 wins, remember, it's just not rando tournaments, right? He won the Masters for the second time. He won the TPC, the Players' Championship. He's also won $27.7 million, Scheffler, this year, roughly $15 million more than the next best competitor, Xander Schauffele. And his caddy, I believe, is just outside the top 10 in winning in money earned, or right inside the top 10. That's how unbelievable Scheffler's season has been. And so you get to thinking, because I get to thinking, Wyatt, it's a problem of mine when I start thinking. 6 wins in 10 starts. Where does this rank? Like, in terms of the stretches of great golf that we have seen in our lifetime, where does this rank? Now, Greg Norman had a stretch between June of 1995 and April of 1997 where he was number one in the world for the entire stretch. At that point, he had been like number one in the world 300 plus times. But for that stretch of 2 years, he was number one the whole way through. And in those 2 years, largely considered to be one of the top 5 stretches in the history of golf, 2 years we're talking, he won 4 times on the PGA Tour, and then 3 times in the PGA Tour in Australia. So 4 here domestically, 3 in his native Australia for 7 in a 2-year span. Well, that's not as good as what Scheffler is doing now, and that's considered maybe the 3rd greatest stretch of all time. So the only 2 stretches of golf that are clearly better than this, because I'm going to make the case that this stretch we're seeing from Scottie Scheffler is firmly the 3rd best stretch of golf in the history, at least modern history of golf. The 2 best, and we'll do it number 2 to number 1. The 2 best are both Tiger Woods, who's just on a different level than anyone historically. Eldrick Tiger Woods, his 2nd best stretch, Tigers, from June of 2005 to October of 2010. Just to give this Scheffler stretch some context, Tiger spent 281 weeks as top-ranked golfer in the world. He won 29 times in that 5-year stretch, including 5 majors. It's just incredible. His best stretch, even better than that, August of 1999 to November of 2004, a stretch of golf that will probably never be matched, although Scotty's off to a start, I guess. 31 wins on tour, including seven majors, 261 straight weeks as the top-ranked golfer in the world. That's the greatest of all time. To finish 99, just to shorten it because we have Scheffler 6 out of 10, to finish 99 alone in that five-year stretch, Woods won six of seven straight tournaments he entered. And for a period of time from the end of 99 through the middle of 2001, he won five of six straight majors. That's so great. So Scheffler, as amazing as this is, not quite the two greatest stretches of Tiger Woods' career. And by the way, Joe Pita, who wrote the 2019 tour guide for the Masters, also uncovered a unbelievable stretch within one of those. I can't remember which one of those Tiger Woods stretches this was involved in. Of, I want to say it was 82 or 86 rounds of golf in the row, rounds of golf in a row where Tiger was strokes gained plus, which is just, you know, head exploding. Tiger didn't even know he probably had that streak going. So Scheffler, what he's doing is, if you take Tiger aside, it might be the greatest stretch of golf. He is a short shot to win the Open Championship, the final major of the year, at 4-1 odds, plus 450, actually, we're showing. But keep in mind, he's only won the two majors, which are the Masters, not only, but only in quotes, just to sort of give it perspective. Most people don't think a Lynx course tailors to him, but nonetheless, installed, because you can't bet it unless it's installed, as a plus 450 short shot at the Open Championship, the final major of the year. He will not be participating in the Rocket Mortgage Classic this week, though Tom Kim, who he just beat in a playoff, is the short shot this week at Rocket Mortgage. Scotty Scheffler, man, tip of the cap. We'll come back. Baseball with Mark Borchardt. That's on the other side. Hockey, College World Series, NBA Draft. It's all on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. By DraftKings, live from Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas, with our NFL betting guide dropping this Thursday, 3 days away. There's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season. With in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, betting trends, you'll have all the tools you need to bet this season smart. Plus, our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. To get the guide, you got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber, though. For a limited time, get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price, normally $240 a year. You can subscribe now for just $199. That's $199, pardon me, with promo code ANG. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Do not miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this incredible offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now. Use promo code ANG to get 13 months of VSiN Pro for just $199.
That is ANG, Gil. ANG. I have an acronym. I'll use it next segment for that.
Reserve your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. And to celebrate our VSiN football betting guide, our NFL betting guide, Thursday, heavy network-wide National Football League betting talk. Yes.
I'm excited for it.
Very excited.
It's that time of the year.
Oh, yeah.
You know why I like
It's not quite that time of the year.
I know. But you know why I like the NFL season? Is because then the temperature starts to cool down. Because, boy, I tell you what, I hate these 150-degree days.
We get, oh, dude, it's already an oven outside. Oh. It's 7:15 a.m.
It was almost 90 degrees.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Roquette Morton, middle of June, 1 week from today is July 1st. I do believe I corrected myself, right, didn't I?
Yeah, I think so. You kind of.
My favorite thing is when you correct yourself and they still want to tweet at you like this. Let's see. Hoops by Hoots. My favorite Scotty tweet I saw yesterday. Ricky Fowler in 12-year career. Six PGA wins. One players. Zero majors. Scotty in last 100 days. Six PGA wins. One players. One major. That is such a great way to contextualize it, too, because think about how desperately over the course of his career, people wanted to make Ricky Fowler into this massive thing. And how Scheffler's numbers just there just absolutely dwarf it. Trip Tepper, in 2001, Tiger held the title. This was a stretch we were talking about. In 2001, he said, another way to put it, Tiger held the title for all four majors and the Players, the unofficial fifth major, unlikely to be duplicated again. It really is unbelievable. Third best stretch of golf, I would argue, in our lifetime. Mark Borcher joined us from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert to talk some baseball with us at BaseWinner, basewinner.com. And, of course, he does the BetUS podcast. Comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. And when I say undisclosed location, it's undisclosed for me. Where are you?
I'm laid back. Got my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Heck, you know, it looks like I'm in the Maricopa County Jail, but I'm really not. I'm going through a remodel of my home, which I think somebody else on this show is doing as well. So, like, I've got to kind of scramble to go to different places. But that remodel, that's sure fun, isn't it?
A remodel is fun. The smell of paint is fun. And there is this thing that people don't tell you. That you can play, you know, 2 hours of tennis out in 100-degree weather here in Vegas, and you will not be as tired or as sore. Your body won't be as sore as you will be moving boxes around your place or shredding paper. It is the weirdest thing in the world, and I haven't really solved that. It's because of the weight. You're not used to twisting your body in certain ways.
We have no idea. I never thought there'd be so many different variations of the color gray, though. I mean, it's just amazing.
It's like there are a lot of variations of gray, that's for sure. All right. Not at the Maricopa County Jail. We've established that. Good, because I would have had to ask you what you're in for. Let's start with your picks first. We usually wait till the end. What do you got today?
Well, I'm going to go, and I've been kind of bearish all year on Cleveland, but I really like this Bybee. He's seventh in about 100, and I think there's 147 guys today. I'm going to go first five Cleveland. He's going against not Maury Povich, but Cade Povich, and I've got the first five priced about minus 138. I still think you can get in the market about a pick 'em, so I'm going to go with that first five. And then, you know, Gil, when we were younger, somebody told us on the radio, and you're probably familiar with this since you were a DJ, that you don't fool around with the funky Cole Medina. But today I'm going to fool around with Medina versus Canning. They're both horrible pitchers. I think Medina's base winner ERA is like a 6.13, and the price is set at 8.5. I understand that the both teams' offenses aren't very good, but this is, you know, they always talk about good pitching versus good hitting. What happens? Well, this is what happens when bad hitting goes up against bad pitching. What I'm going to do here is play the over 8.5. I think that's priced affordably. I think it's about minus 115 right now. And then this is an interesting one, Gil. I have the White Sox, and the White Sox for me are I really want them to have the worst record in baseball because I have them at 6-1. But today I'm going to play against the best team in baseball, arguably. I'm going to play the White Sox on the first five. I really like this Crochet, and he's actually has a base winner ERA of 2.21. It's pretty amazing that on such a crappy team, you can have such a good pitcher. And he's going up against Paxton. It was kind of conversely, on such a good team, you have such a crappy pitcher. And Paxton's base winner ERA, now this is strikeout percentage, walk percentage, ground ball percentage, and I think that there's no argument there that this is something the pitcher can control. And so anyway, Paxton's base winner ERA, 5.89. I think we have a huge advantage pitching with the White Sox, and I understand their offense isn't good. I've got them 29th in baseball versus the fourth best offense in this respective split with the Dodgers. But all that being said, I think that a pick'em price for the White Sox is a steal. I think it should be about minus 200. And so that's controversial, but based on a 2.21 ERA versus a 5.89, it makes sense from a math standpoint, Gil.
Let's go. I mean, the All-Star break is coming up in a few weeks here. Always a nice time. By the way, Q2 derivatives pod, me and you next week, if you can hack it, because we're about to round the bend.
Let's do it. I'll be out of jail by then, I think.
I hope so. It was a misdemeanor. And so here's the thing. I just want to get a sort of heat check on some of these teams in each league to sort of get your thoughts on what is. We kind of have a good sense. I mean, there's not a lot of good races. Obviously, the AL East, 1.5 games separate the Yankees and the Orioles. But you have to, I mean, the only other one that is remotely close, I guess the closest of the bunch is the Brewers are only 5 games up on the Cardinals. So you don't really have a lot of connectivity at the top. But in terms of the wild card, let's start with the American League. The National League is just a scrum. But the American League right now, if the playoffs were to begin today, and this just in, they're not, But if they were, Baltimore, Minnesota, and Boston inhabit the 1, 2, and 3 wildcard positions. Kansas City is a half game out. Everybody else, including Tampa Bay and Houston, 4 games out or more. Ultimately, what do your numbers say will be a wild card team? Because we can not only bet miss and make playoffs, but there's also some books that have exact seeding. So I'm curious what your numbers say in the AL.
Well, I'm really bearish on the Royals. In fact, I put that out. I think I got plus 160-ish on Friday, and I only have them with a 10% chance to make the playoffs based on my Monte Carlo simulation skill. So who's going to make it? Who's got the opportunity to get in there? I like Houston, Gil. I know you're in Houston. I've got them with a 61% chance of making the playoffs, and you can get them at DraftKings. I'm just looking now, plus 120. I think that's a pretty good opportunity in the American League, Gil.
I do too. Not as sexy a number as you could have gotten. It's certainly not as sexy a number before the month of June in terms of most wins. But yes, the Astros still 4 out of the wild card, and obviously they would have their sights set on a division as well. National League right now, the 3 wild cards would be Atlanta, St. Louis, and San Diego. But when I say Atlanta's got a little bit of a cushion, but St. Louis and San Diego in the 2 and 3 holes, you have to go 7 teams down from San Diego, and everybody's within 3 games. Washington, Arizona, the Mets, the Pirates, the Cubs, the Reds, and the Giants. Who's in ultimately and who's out, according to you?
Well, there's some really good opportunity for me, based on my numbers in the futures market, for the Padres to make the playoffs. Yes, I've got them a 70% chance, and you can still get them, I think, Gil. I mean, this looks like a typo, but you can get them at plus money, plus 140 for the Padres to get in there. And then there's the other team. I put this team out too on Friday, the Mets. And the Mets, 40% chance to get in. They're priced right now at plus 250. And that's based on the lineup they have right now. I think they'll probably get aggressive. I mean, they're right there, Gil. So those are 2 really good plays, in my opinion, in the National League, Gil.
And you always have to assess who's going to be a buyer, who's going to be a seller here at the trade deadline coming up as well. And then last thing, only 30 seconds, of all the teams we mentioned, which is the one, either American League or National League, that if they get in the postseason, the way that their starting pitching is set up, they could actually be a thing in advance?
Well, who have we mentioned? We've mentioned Houston. I didn't mention Baltimore winning that division to steal. But
really? Okay.
I don't know. I think it's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough for all those teams because the other teams are better. They have better pitching. Gil.
Okay, but I heard Baltimore's going to win the AL East. You said that?
I love that. I love that. I think it's a steal, Gil.
Okay, appreciate it. We'll come back. Wimbledon talk, and of course, the Stanley Cup Finals. Game 7 on the other side. Thank you, Mark. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hey, Wyatt, you check out our new website, VSiN.com. Can we call it new still? No?
Feels new every time I go on.
Oh, well said. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. It's all there at VSiN.com. And again, a quick glance at the homepage. A lot of NBA draft. Mock from JVT, Jonathan Von Tobel, Zach Cohen on the draft as well, Steve Mackinnon. NFL stats to help predict team improvement and decline. How about that? That's interesting. Michael Lombardi, can the Kansas City Chiefs three-peat? All of that and more at vsin.com. Check it out. Speaking of the NBA draft, yesterday, special numbers game weekend investigation revealed that the NBA draft is on Wednesday, not on Thursday. So I said to myself, self, who do I want to talk to about this? And only one name came to mind. Not only one, but the first and foremost, most prominent name was Luke Swain, Vegas Refund, who has been kind enough to join us for NFL drafts in the past. He joins us now to talk NBA draft, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Luke, what's happening?
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate it, man. First of all, let's just start here. Your excitement level as a handicapper going into an NBA draft where the betting possibilities are fewer, but nonetheless, wins are wins, value is value, versus the NFL draft. Are you more pumped for this kind of thing or less?
Well, actually, surprisingly, the NBA market so far, specifically on like DraftKings, there are more NBA draft markets or close to than what we had for the NFL. Like right now you have exact pick all the way up to pick 25, which is wild. Like they had nothing close to this last year. And then you have top 10, top 5 to go in the first round. a ton of over-unders, which I'm like thankful and impressed with DraftKings to be pushing out a menu. It all came later than usual, where NFL were getting like a month ahead of time, where we got the majority of this within the like last week. But right now, the NBA market has been surprisingly impressive.
I will say that is very impressive. Up to the number 25 pick here in Nevada, where again I always say once sports betting becomes legalized, boy, is this going to be a tremendous place to live. But I will shout out MGM. MGM has a pretty vast breadth of draft bets available for the NBA draft. They don't quite go up to 25 though. They go up to 10. So going up to 25 is really awesome on DraftKings' part. The difference, the primary difference beyond the bets that are available in terms of assessing an NBA draft versus assessing an NFL draft is?
So it's just much, it's simpler. Where with the NFL, it's much more mainstream. There's a lot more smoke, I guess you could say. And then really the positional value that goes into the NFL draft doesn't exist so much with the NBA, where the NBA is positionless, which just this past NFL draft, you have to deal with like the quarterbacks being overvalued, where like guys like Bo Nix are going in the first round that probably shouldn't have. Where with the NBA, it's a lot more best player available. And there's just a lot less mock drafts or experts out there. And if you like with the NFL, I had like 30 mock drafts I'm looking at. Where with the NBA, it's like 4 to 10 in terms of guys that you trust. But the biggest difference really is just the positional value that the NFL has that the NBA doesn't.
Is there any player in this draft that you feel is like that the team is assessing by their position specifically?
I would say in terms of like the top 10s, Stephen Castle is probably like the one guy where his positional value comes into play, which he's really the only true point guard that is expected to go in the top 10. I mean, he hasn't even been taking workouts with teams that aren't drafting him unless they consider him a point guard. So Stephen Castle would probably be the main guy in terms of like the positional value coming into play with his over-under, and he's expected to go in the top 5. So
you mentioned that you you aggregate mock drafts, and you said the NBA's you trust a smaller group. There's probably fewer mock drafts out there to begin with, but you trust a smaller group. Would you be willing to share some of the names of the mock drafters that you trust?
Of course. I mean, there's really like a core four that you want to really take notice to. It's Sam Vecenie out of The Athletic, Kevin O'Connor out of The Ringer, Jonathan Givony out of ESPN, and then Jonathan Wasserman, who's Bleacher Report, which those are like the core four for me. And probably Vecenie would be like the king mock drafter out of those four. But the context within specifically Wasserman and Vecenie's mock drafts, and actually Givony so far, which he actually kind of teams up with Jeremy Wu, who was with Bleacher Report before, but he went to ESPN. Wu would have been, it used to be a core five, but now it's really just a core four. But the context between that Vecenie puts in his mock drafts, giving ranges, like a lot of little nuggets that are actually like actionable, is the best part of Vecenie, but he'd probably be my number one.
Okay, that's good. So, I mean, it's a more refined, even sort of Googling contest, as I like to say with this, and following folks on Twitter. All right, so let's get to the top of the draft. How do, at this moment, and this is the interesting thing, so we're Monday morning, the first round begins on Wednesday evening. Are you still anticipating, like, I know with the NFL, we're like, oh, when is, what's my man's name? When is Daniel Jeremiah's last mock coming? I can't wait for his last mock. Is it still the same thing in the NBA? Like, are you still anticipating the last?
So this is probably considered like the worst NBA draft since like for a while. But at the same time, there's markets to bet into, so it doesn't matter which. It was tough to get interested in, but Sar was like the consensus number one for a while, which he'd probably go like maybe 10 or later and then like last year's draft, let's say. But Sar is considered to go 2. And right now the debate at number one is between Zachary, man, some of these names are so tough in this draft.
Risacher, yes.
Risacher, thank you. or Klingon out of UConn, which Kristen Peek made a out of Yahoo made a interesting comment in her podcast a couple of days ago that she expects this to be possibly a 2022 NBA draft, where that was like the infamous year of Paolo going number one, where Waj was saying it was Jalen Green the night before. And then the day of, everything just flipped on its face. And she kind of made the point that everyone is kind of expecting Zachary, I'm not even going to try his last name again, and it could possibly flip onto Klingon the day of. But then Gavoni on a Windhorse podcast this morning kind of made the point that he's expecting it to be Zachary. So really no one knows. And I honestly don't think the Hawks know either. There's a ton of trade rumors to get up for Klingon. But I think if right now, like gun to head, if the Hawks pick at one, it will probably be ZR.
ZR. Zachary to ZR. Pretty soon you're going to be like Z. Zachary Risacher at number one, if you had to say right now. If that's the case, where do you see, like, how deep into this do you have a sense, like a real sense that you're confident about players going, and where does that confidence drop off for you?
Yeah, so I would say there's somewhat of a consensus top six. Like, we know which six are going to probably go. The order might vary a little bit, but it's probably going to be the same top six. And then, like, from there, it gets a little bit murky, but probably all the way, which would be ZR, Alex R, Reed Shepard, Stephen Castle, Donovan Klingon. I think that's six.
That was five. So, okay. And is this...
And then Matsas Buzelis. Those would be the six, I would say. And then you got Cody Williams, Dalton Knecht, and then somewhat Devin Carter. So that would be like a top nine. I would expect in any order to go in the first nine, which is the beauty of the NBA draft, that like, trades can still happen, but I think those nine are still going to go with the nine first picks.
You're saying that those are the nine in whatever order. Did you also, if I'm reading between the lines, did you also list them in the order that you most think they would go in as well? Can I offer that? Because you said...
I just read up my list.
Risacher first. Sar, you said second. Reed Shepard third. I'm just reading. Stephon Castle fourth. Who was fifth? Buzelis?
And then Matsas Buzelis, most likely, yeah.
So Klingon not in the top five in that case.
So, yeah, so Klingon's either going to go 1, 3, or 7 if there's no trade.
1, 3, or 7. Expected order. And as those, so the ones that I just listed in the order, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but in that particular order, if it goes Risacher, Sar, Shepard, Castle, I'm looking at the markets that you were talking about. That player with that exact pick, and that assumes that there are no trades, right? We don't want to get into the trade business.
Right.
Castle seems to have the best number at number four. That's like a plus 180. I'm staring at MGM. I'm not sure what DraftKings has, but that would be an interesting bet still, I would imagine then.
Yeah, and that's come down a bunch where, Castle's either going to go 4 or 6. You could probably bet exact pick for both of those, him to go 4 and for him to go 6.
Ooh, okay.
And I would assume be a plus EV bet.
I might have an NBA draft bet in my future, it turns out. Luke was kind enough to stay with us for a couple seconds. We'll come back. Who he thinks the big movers are, either forward or backward. And the conundrum of Bronny James. It's on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network. With NFL training camp starting in less than a month, the VSiN experts have been hard at work to get you ready for the upcoming NFL season. Our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide drops this Thursday. It's packed with everything you need to dominate this NFL season. We got in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and proprietary betting trends that you won't find anywhere else. But that is not all. Our experts have weighed in with their best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Whether you're a season better or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. And to celebrate the release of the guide, VSiN's going all out with special coverage throughout the day. Tune in this Thursday for expert analysis, insider tips, and all the NFL insight you need to start the season strong. Remember, the only way to get our all-new NFL betting guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, so visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up today. Gil Alexander. It's Wyatt Tomchak, live from Barcanada, the barrage here at the D, downtown Las Vegas. Just reading that NFL promo guide promo, or NFL betting guide promo, pardon me. The NFL betting guy promo, which again, Matt Eumanns, Adam Burke, and everybody who worked on it, they do such a great job with all of our betting guides. But just, you know, just feeling the NFL approaching, as great as a day like this is with Stanley Cup Finals Game 7 and the College World Series deciding Game 3 and the draft, the NBA draft on Wednesday, all kinds of soccer, it's still the NFL. It still just destroys like everything else in the book in terms of just we're a hamster on a wheel. But the betting opportunities like these that we're talking about with Luke Swain remain. Vegas Refund on Twitter. Just a tremendous historical record betting both the NFL and NBA drafts. He joins us once again, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Luke, let's go through that once again. The players that you believe, and I won't hold you to the order, but if you could list them in the order that you had them, one through, I think you went up to nine. What did you have there?
Yeah, so it's ZR1, SAR2, which that's a pretty strong consensus. Reed Shepard 3, which is another really strong consensus. And then you get Stephen Castle at 4 to the Spurs, Matas Puzelis at 5 to the Pistons. And then 6, that is when it gets a little bit dicey, but 6 would probably be, 6 is up in the air. And then it would be Klingon at 7. You can assume if he falls, I guess. And then from there, it would be like Dalton Connect, Cody Williams, Devin Carter are like the three guys that can go really anywhere that have been like big risers from the start of this draft season, I guess you could say. But that would be like the consensus top 8 or 9 guys that are just going to go.
Okay.
Depending on the order.
Klingon 1, 3, or 7 is the interesting thing. Okay, the big risers you said, and give me the big fallers, if you will. Say the big risers again, yeah. Williams.
So Cody Williams, huge riser. He was like projected to go in like the 10 to 13 range at the start, and now he's can go anywhere as high as like 5 to 8 and maybe 9. And then Devin Carter, who's out of Providence, he was projected to go like, I want to say like in the 15 range at the start, and now he's looking to go as high as maybe number 8. And then those would probably be like the two biggest risers in the whole process. And then the biggest fallers would probably be guys like Nikola Topic, who just had some like really bad luck. Tore his ACL. Just awful luck. And he was projected top 5, and now he might go in the range of like 10 to 15. Rob Dillingham, he was top 10. He's probably not going to go in the top 10 anymore. And then Ron Holland out of the G League, he was top 10. He's probably not going to go. He might go like 9 at the earliest. But Zach Edey is also a huge riser as well, where you're seeing rumors for him to go as high as 9 to the Grizzlies, which the Grizzlies are a team that really fall in love with players. But Edey was like mid-20s, and now his over-under is now like 15.5, 16.5. And he might even sneak his way into the top 10.
Wow. So you'd go under on that. Under 15.5, a strong under?
It's a really good number. The teams that you're seeing that are interested in him are basically like the Heat and the Lakers. The Heat mainly, but there's a bunch of teams that need a center in that range. But like 15.5, 16.5 is a great number, but I would probably only go under. I wouldn't bet the over there too much.
Give me a couple bets that you, for those, because I know you get these, you know, at the best numbers, you're really on top of it. But for those who are landing on this right now, give us a couple great bets that are still out there.
So one long shot I do like, I think De'Aaron Holmes to go top 20, which I believe is plus 500 on FanDuel currently, which he's a guy, if you listen to like those Core 4 podcasts, he's someone that just keeps coming up. And Jonathan Wasserman even made a comment in like a smaller podcast a couple of days ago saying like De'Aaron Holmes is that guy that he's not projected in mocks that you read to go in the top 20, but with this draft being so up in the air, like he's the guy that he wouldn't be shocked if he went to a team. And he said specifically 12 to the Thunder or 17 to the Lakers, which De'Aaron Holmes is definitely locked into the first round. He's been a riser, but with this class, like that's one guy I can see based off everything I read and just his trajectory over this process going in the top 20. And at 5 to 1, It probably should be higher, but these are draft odds. These aren't real odds. So 5-1 is actually a pretty good value. And then the other one I would say is Tyler Smith over right now. I think it's 26.5. It opened at 24.5. He is trending in the wrong direction in every way. Like I right now, I would probably give it a 50-50 shot for him to even go in the first round. He's out of the G League, and 24.5 was an automatic over. I still like the over at 26.5. He is one of the biggest fallers in this whole process. So 26.5, I would still take that over.
26.5 on
the Tyler Smith.
Tyler Smith. Okay. Just to clarify, Topic, you mentioned this and a lot of people probably missed this. Nikola Topic, who again is going to sound a whole bunch like Nikola Jokic, obviously, but Nikola Topic blew out his knee. Just a horrible thing for a kid about to be drafted. Has his over under moved enough now where it's unbettable, or is it still bettable to you?
So it opened at 6.5, which was one of the worst lines in terms of openers I've ever seen. And it's at 10.5 right now, and I would still bet the over. I think that is bettable. I think really it would be like if he 10 is really his only out to me. And I think it's more unlikely than likely for him to go 10. And I would only bet his over at this time, unless like some type of intel or something comes out. Like I think he's an over no matter what the number is. And I think a 10.5 is still too low.
All right. Still bettable despite the move from 6.5 to 10.5. Poor dude blew out his knee. And then what's the story with Carrington? Is there a specific place for him, Carlton Carrington?
Yeah, he's another huge riser. If you like those core four, they all like put out like their new mock drafts last week. And he is definitely the biggest riser as well. In those 20s, he could go as high as 12 to the Thunder. I don't see him getting past 20, which FanDuel does have top 20 odds for him, which I believe it's like minus 200 right now, which in my opinion is too light. His over-under opened at 20.5, and it's all the way down to 18.5 right now. But he is someone that I bet exact pick to go to the Thunder a few days ago, and it's definitely come down. But he is one that I don't see him getting out of the top 20, and 20 really being his basically his floor.
Okay. So you did bet an exact to the Thunder, but you wouldn't bet it at the current price?
I would still bet under 18.5. I think he can go as high as 12, maybe even a little bit higher.
Okay.
But he is one of the biggest risers that, like, I would never bet an over on a guy like this because it seems like his stock is just exploding right now.
And the last thing, Luke, so kind of you to hang out for 2 segments. You know where I'm going. Bronny James, what is your thought at this moment?
So Bronny James, I compare it to like betting like the over-under on quarterbacks every single year. And in principle, you just want to bet the under 4.5 quarterbacks because there's always so much hype in media surrounding him. And Bronny James is somewhat similar where like in principle, you just want to bet the over. But there's so much smoke around like his father, of course, that you just can't bet the over because guys like Bo Nix and whoever Penix go in the first round and it's the one time. But I would never bet the over under on Bronny. I think it's like it was 39, it's up to 41.5. But like he shouldn't go in the first. He shouldn't go earlier than whatever his over under is. But you just have no idea what's going on behind the scenes and a draft where promises are made. And it is somewhat of a politics move right now with him that I have no interest in coming anywhere close to his over-under right now.
I love that. So the thing that is perhaps most talked about, maybe even more than who's going first, to be quite honest with you, is the one thing you want no part of whatsoever, which makes a lot of sense. Because of everything you've said, I do think, you know, God knows what's going on behind the scenes there. Who knows what deals have been made. Luke, appreciate it. Good luck as always with all your drafts, including this NBA draft on Wednesday night. Vegas Refund. Is that where they find all your stuff, at Vegas Refund?
Yep, there it is.
Okay. He's got a whole bunch of stuff, spreadsheets, if you really want to dive deeper and make money on this NBA draft. Luke Swain at Vegas Refund. Thank you, Luke. We've done all we can do. Enjoy from Visa, the Sports Betting Network.